Boy, Fangirl gives away a big start. Via Sustainer pinching ground towards the inside. Tropical Squall at the 300 from Zoo Gotcha, who travels up. Zoo Gotcha takes the lead now from Samantha. They beat off Tropical Squall, falling away to Fangirl. Zoo Gotcha in front, 150 out. Zoo Gotcha from Samantha. Fangirl late. Via Sustainer's charging. Zoo Gotcha in front from Via Sustainer. Oh, photo finish. Via Sustainer rattling home. Joins Zoo Gotcha on the wire. Could go either way. Then Detonator Jack, Fangirl, Zardozi, Simona next from Riff Rocket at Tissue. Further back,
Bucket. G'day, punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews Review Podcast, where we will be looking back on Winx Stakes Day, the first Group 1 of the new season, taken out by Via Sustainer. Well, I didn't think she'd sprint as hard as she did at 1,400 metres. Bot certainly knew. BSP, $13. Wooshka, away you went. Who would have thought? Karen McAvoy outriding James McDonald. Cut up the inside and was very, very good. Will, how are you going, mate? And how was your weekend?
Good. It wasn't too bad. Quiet weekend. But the racing was good. It was a Group 1. There were Group 1 horses in it. But it's not a Group 1 figure. But, it's only going to go one way from here. All of those, you know, the main contenders are only going to go one way. Like Via Sustainer's not going to get any worse than that, and neither's Fangirl. And, you know, so it's exciting. I'm excited despite how my voice sounds. It was good racing and I wanted to talk about it, so we're doing a review podcast.
Yeah, that's it. We weren't going to do one this week, but Bot sent me a message a few hours ago. Mate, you were that keen that you've gone to Twitter, yeah, and you've actually written a whole column about Sydney.
Yeah, well, it was a
car. This is like pretty outrageous behaviour for someone who only bets in Melbourne.
No,
works for a company who is owned by RV. No,
I don't know actually. No idea. But I like Sydney racing. I like watching it. I just don't bet there. Maybe I have to change that because I do pretty well in Sydney. Fucking hell.
I reckon you should try and make that change very soon.
I might have to.
Because you've left a
$13. How'd they bet 13s? Oh my
you've
God.
You've left a $13 winner on the table.
What are they doing up there?
That's where we will start. The Winx Stakes, 1400 meter Group 1, Via Sistina, as I said. She got a fair way back in the run. It was only a sedate tempo for Group 1, but she rocketed home up the inside. She was able to get up and beat Zoo Gotcha, who was well-backed. Zoo Gotcha ended up starting, I think, $6.50 on the tab, fixed odds, second favourite. And Fangirl covered a bit of ground, circled the field, ran well, but its last 600 was very similar to Via Sustainer. So they've sprinted home quite similarly, but I thought Fangirl would go a little bit better than that. But yeah, can't really take much away from the top three. They were all very good.
Yeah, they went slowly early, and that makes you look at Tropical Squall and like you'll hear that, you know, it was hard to lead on the day, but they went slowly here, regardless of whether there was a headwind in the straight or whatever. She was poor and she might just not have, you know, maybe she's looking for the breeding barn, I guess, but yeah, so they went quite slowly.
I think she might have pulled up with an issue.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, yeah, she was up where you wanted to be. She was on speed. Like they backed Samana, they backed Zoo Gotcha heavily, the horses and Detonator Jack too, who were gonna be up on top of the speed because, you know, you had the Chris Waller stars drawn seven and wider. They were all gonna go back and rip home in nice sectionals, sort of the last 400 metres. But, yeah, the way the race eventuated, Via Sustainer took a gap up the inside and she ripped home in massive sectionals, you know. I don't want to be a smartass. And I'm not being a smartass because I said it before the race, I can say it. Like the split she ran first and second up, that last preparation, in the QE and the Ramvet, you don't run those without being a speedy horse. Like she doesn't matter if it's 14 or 2,000 meters. If you can run 33 flat, you can run 33 flat.
I think just from my point of view in response to that, I probably didn't think they would go quite this slow. So from a mapping perspective, I thought she would be a lot further back on a faster tempo than this. I just thought Tropical Squall would actually run them along a little bit more because she had those good trials. She seemed to be one of the fittest horses in the race, trained by Gay, but you know, according to punting form, she's gone 13 lengths slower than group one average to the 600. And that has allowed Via Sestina to run home in the fastest last 200 of the day.
Is it Gotcha that is? Or Via Sestina?
No, Via Sestina, fastest last 200.
No, but to the six, you're saying the class, who's run 13 slow? Zugotcha.
Who led? Was it Tropical Squall or was it Zugotcha?
Oh, Tropical Squall, I mean.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they went quite that slow. But yeah. Via Sestina gave them a massive head start for, you know, they weren't going quickly for the class of race that it was, and she picked them up and spat them out. I wouldn't be upset with what Fangirl did. She, you know, you probably can, but like it's difficult to, I guess, quantify how much Via Sestina gained by taking the inside where Fangirl was taken wide, and she lost a bit by doing that, and she's run really, really fast late too. Like it's not like she's run poorly. Like you can't be disappointed what Fangirl's done. Like they set her an impossible task and she's rattled home 8 lengths quick for the class in the last sort of 400 meters. So it's a perfect kickoff. She's just run into a horse that, like, I consider Via Sestina one of the best horses in the world, and you know, her form travels everywhere. Like she got beaten by King of Steel. Horizon Door was beaten into third that day in the Champion Stakes, and she beat him further than what August Rodin did. So in a similarly run race. So her form is as good as it. She's lightly raced too. Like she keeps improving. I think she'd probably be the end up being the best horse in Australia by the end of this preparation. And like, you know, it's still
the Queen Elizabeth SP said that.
Yeah, well, they backed her to run a number that is just enormous. Like to start $1.85. Fixed, yeah, $1.92 Betfair, just relentless cash, and obviously that didn't eventuate because of the way the race was run. But you know, I think she can go better than what she did last preparation, and she's obviously healthy. She's sprinted as well as anything. So other horses to note out of the race are
Do you want to just quickly talk figures?
Yeah.
So Via Sestina 102, Zugotcha 101.9, Fangirl 100.8. I would say in terms of Fangirl's rating, this is probably more similar to what she ran in the Winx Stakes last year. She obviously ran that really big peak first up last prep in the Apollo. And I've got to apologize to Dave if he is listening to this, because I said something on Twitter saying I didn't realize that these ratings hadn't been adjusted yet. And old SD Dinopolis over the top has chimed in. So if you get any hate mail, that's definitely on me. I made sure I deleted the tweet nice and quickly. But how do you tell if these ratings have been adjusted yet again?
You'll see a top right, a check on the top right of the square.
Okay, sweet.
A green check. Anyway, yeah. So this race is like it was set up for the on pace horses. So Zugotcha's run her number. She's run she's gone as good as she goes, and that's a little bit concerning. But I guess she's probably just gonna race in the Phillies races and win those. But if she, you know, she could go to an Epsom, I guess. So those sort of handicap races, but she's not gonna be like if she lines up against Fangirl, Via Sestina, once they've got a run, she won't be as competitive if they go at a decent sort of pace. Riff Rocket was enormous as well. He was set a task. Ed Buckaroo ran the second fastest last 800 of this particular race. He went really, really well. The only problem with him is they keep racing him in races he can't win. So that's an issue for that horse. But, you know, if they race him in a race, for example, maybe like the Hill Stakes.
That's the one I was going to say.
A race like that, you know, against Group 2 horses, it's still worth $1 million or something, I think. He'd have to be favourite. And like, he started $95 Betfair. That doesn't reflect how good he actually is. Like, he finished just alongside Plaster Carousel and the Ranvert. He's a really nice horse. He was brought over for a Cox Plate. A Tissue does what she typically does first up, and she's sort of set to get to 2,000 metres at some point and run the number that she typically does. She's a good filly, and yeah, that's about it. I think the rest are just sort of... Oh, Zardozi went...
I thought okay. Zardozi for further.
Yeah. Well, I mean they're going to race her in, like, they're going to aim up. Like, they're going to go the Turnbull, the Caulfield Cup. So it's all relative to, like, what they're actually going to go to. Like, she's not going to win a Caulfield Cup. She's a good filly, but she's not that good. Riff Rocket is the Turnbull horse. Only problem is, I think, probably Via Sustainer and the rest are going to be there, and he can't beat those horses. So he's a nice horse, but, like, you know, he probably runs. In a regular year, he's the Turnbull winner, but I think it might be pretty hot this year, so maybe not.
Via Sustainer, best bet of the spring in the Turnbull for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I was already on her, and now after what's happened on Saturday, I'm even keener. Like, do you want to go to some of the other races now?
Yeah, I just want to say maybe just don't be disappointed at all with what Fangirl did. Like, she went as well as she possibly could.
Yep. All right, sweet. Okay, let's wind it back to race 5. It was the Premier's Cup Group 3 2,000 metres, Elias, the import for Gay and Bot. Ridden by Tim Clark, has been a tough winner, has been able to shake off Touristic, carried a few more kilos as well, super striking third Calipor and fourth. But Elias is all the talk here. In terms of Form King, he has run to 99.2, which is very, very good, 57 kilos carried, and he is the outright favourite for the Metropolitan.
Yeah, he should be. Like, he just screams of being a Metrop horse. There's obvious comparisons. He's trained by the same connections, but he is just fine 2.0. The market, especially late, like, he got a little bit of a drift late, but, you know, when you see them go around shorter Betfair than what they did fixed odds, you know, the big guys get involved and they just sort of smash it late. And that's what they did with this horse. Yeah, it went really well. They ran really fast time. You see that in the margins, good margins throughout the field. Time's good. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think he's ever been past 10 furlongs, 2,000 metres. So that's, you know, he's got to sort of tick that box. But the way, like, they ran really fast and he finished quickly too. So I'd be surprised if he doesn't run a mile and a half. But, you know. He's a listed winner in France too, and he's only been beaten twice in his career from 10 starts, and he finished second both times. So there's only so much he can do. But, you know, I wouldn't like, this isn't a Caulfield Cup horse. I hope they don't aim that highly with him. He's a Metropolitan horse, and good, like, you know, he's obviously favourite. Like, I don't know what's I've got no idea what's going toward that race, but. He's, you know, you think of...
I think Laird Legend is probably the danger if it goes there.
Oh, that yeah. Well, he's he hasn't raced in about a year, so...
Yeah, he hasn't. Concerning. He's only had a few trials. I think he's actually nominated for a 1500 this week. Whether he runs or not remains to be seen.
Who trains that? Because it was with Haggis when it was here, or when it raced.
I want to say Waller.
Right, okay.
Let me look it up. But yeah, Elias, like, in terms of Just Fine 2.0, I don't think Just Fine really ran a strong 2,400 metres.
No, he didn't.
Last year either. Like, he was falling in a hole late, but perfectly ridden by Rachel King, and that might be the same for this horse. Like, maybe he is better at 2,000 metres, you know, when push comes to shove, but Metrop still has his name written all over it. Yes, Chris Waller, Land Legend.
Right. Yeah, I don't think 2,400 metres is any worry for him. But I think it's interesting that they've never gone past. I'm not 100% sure yet, but I'm pretty sure he's never been past 10 furlongs. Anyway, race six.
Yep, race six. This was the Dali Silver Shadow Stakes, over 1,200 metres, and Amina has been able to get herself back in the winner's enclosure. Well done to Nico. Has just been able to get over the top of Silmarillion. If you back this horse in the midweeks last night, you can feel a bit hard done by it because she's gone very well here. Manal in third, solid, been really well backed, and Erno's Cube fourth. He's been a pretty good benchmark as well.
Yeah. I don't think these are much good. I think it might be surprising to some people, but the Quisette won by Drifting went better 2 weeks ago now. And you know, that's maybe people wouldn't think that, you know, because there's a heart like Manal won the almost the run of the race in the Golden Slipper and won the size, but she, I'd be surprised if she's come up this prep. There's nothing, you know, she gave the majority of them 3 kilos, but she was like plain on the clock. She had her chance, and maybe people will say she's looking for further, but yeah, she's a tassel. She like doesn't scream to me like she's going to be sort of a miler. Like I think she's probably 12 to 14 and she didn't do a whole lot late. So I've got concerns about her. They backed her really, really heavily. She was a 16 or almost a 17% firm throughout betting. But yeah, Amina went well. She's improved as a 3-year-old filly. And maybe that's just down to opportunity as well. Like she, I don't know. But I don't think there's a massive ceiling with these lot. Like if they aim up towards a Golden Rose, then you know, no chance. But but depends what sort of race they go to though. Like I don't know. I don't know the calendar in Sydney too well.
Bunch finish. J-Mac has got this very right. There's every chance that she might lose J-Mac if she does stick around in sort of this company or even go up to a better class of race. One I wanted to touch on was Zatung. What do you reckon happened here? Because in betting, it was spat out despite having the highest last start figure.
Maybe other databases didn't have it going as well, I guess. Mm. But she was pretty good. I thought if you're going to follow a horse out of the race, I'd follow Bohinya because she was spat out too, and she was coming off a maiden at Newcastle, and she went really well. She was back in trip. She sprinted well in this, and she sprinted well to break her maiden. So I think she's a, you know, she'll probably go back to wherever. Like she's not trained by Chris Waller. She's trained by Lee and Sherry Curtis. I've never heard of them. So I'd assume that like country New South Wales, provincial New South Wales, and, you know, if she drops back to like a 70 or 78, whatever they have in Sydney, you know, she's a bet probably. But I don't like for the races that they're going to aim up at, because logically these horses go to the Golden Rose, don't they? Like that's the next step.
That's the harder option. There's definitely a 1400 meter race. What is it? Is it the T-Rose?
Oh, the Prince. Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, they probably go there. They're just going to race each other. So
yeah, they'll go to the 1400 meter, then they'll go to the flight stakes.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Well, I guess Manal is maybe the only one that might go to the Golden Rose just because she was in the size, but I completely bin her in that. I don't think she's trained on at all. I mean, yeah. You'd want to see her doing something, but
let's get to a girl who has trained on. Race seven was the Show County Quality, and this was a quality performance in Jolie Star, who, according to Form King, has gone to 104.2. I think Dano had it pretty similar, which is the performance of the evening or of the afternoon, has put 3 lengths on our Kobe Sun, Fearson in third, and Democracy Manifest in fourth. So yet again, another very slowly run race, but she has ripped home in some very, very fast sectionals, Bob.
Yeah, like this is, I don't remember, you know, like a, she's not very well exposed, but you know, she's had three preparations, or I guess she's had one real preparation, and she's had one run the two other times. So, you know, maybe she's had her issues. I don't know, but she's, you know, like, is it like what she did in the Arrow field compared to this is just, it's just worlds apart. Like she, like this is sort of in the vicinity of winning an Everest. Mm. This is, I wish I win sort of territory. Like this puts her as one of the sort of top three sprinters in the country. We've just had a sort of a clean out of our best sprinters, and we needed one and we've got one here. But yeah, I sort of thought she was a miler, and I think everyone was of that opinion. Like she won the 1,000 guineas. But you know, yeah, like that, they don't win like this. They don't sprint like this unless they're sprinters. So she's come. You go.
It is worth noting. I remember when she won that 1,000 guineas, and we were all saying, because it was a heavy fence bias day, if you remember that day, Bot.
Yeah.
At Caulfield, and there was probably a few going. She was just right place, right time that day, and those sort of swooping didn't really get their chance. And maybe that is correct, but then she went and won at the 1,200 meters in the Arrow field, and we thought, she's got a fair bit of quality to be winning 1,000 guineas and winning an Arrow field first up. And then her trials this time in just said, gee, she looks very sharp. And the money got it absolutely spot on, sort of 330 into 260, got even shorter. And she trounced them.
Yeah. But like, even in the Arrow field, like it wasn't a turn of foot that she won with. They were sort of stopping and she got over the top of them. This is like what she did on Saturday in the show county quality is just like completely different from what she's ever done. And like come out of nowhere. Like I guess people might have seen it at the trials. I never saw any of the trials. And I did hear that the stable were happy with her leading in to the preparation, but she just like, even the way she like visually, like she looks big, and she just, I don't know, just the way she was doing it was very, and obviously J-Mac turned around and gave him a wave pass at the 150 meter mark. But you know, there's nothing more story.
Funny story just on J-Mac. He was actually in at the Valley yesterday doing a few little things with us. And his words were, thank fuck I didn't commit to Giga Kick in the Everest.
Yeah. Well, this is the Everest horse. But, you know, I wrote about it in what I, like, you know, I wrote a thing, and I'm not going to go all full nerd on it, but you know, scientifically, yeah, but scientifically horses can, like, their muscles return to typical levels within 3 days. Like people talk about like speed in their legs, like they're speedy or they're not speedy. Like this horse, if they freshen her leading into an Everest, I will be like, it just, she's gone really well here. She's run 104.2. It's a massive number, sure, but it's a slowly run show county quality. If she goes into the Everest with just a trial, what is it? 50 or 60 days between runs. That is just the dumbest thing of all time. Like Everest's a extremely high pressure 6 furlong races. And, you know, if she comes in off a slowly run show county quality in a trial, well, she might win, sure, but she'd be a lot better off if she were to have two or three more runs under the belt. And you know, it's
my
just
gut feel. My gut feel is they go straight to the Premier Group 2 1200 meters on October 5th, and then they go to the Everest on October 19. Obviously, Chris Waller has a slot, so I don't think waste too much time announcing it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he's got some two, 3 year old that's, I don't know. She's got to be maybe she's not number one seed. She's done it once. You'd want to see it. There's a bit of substance here, but you still want to see her do it again, I guess. But
I'll play devil's advocate, and I'll say that I don't think she'll run this number again in the Everest.
Why not?
Because I just think the – mostly because of the race shape, the difference in race shape.
I don't see why the Everest would be any – like I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, but I – I've like she's only done this once. Like it's hard to like, – I want to see her do it again, but I don't
– So hopefully she does go to the Premier.
Yeah, if you're this good, you're this good. Like you can cope. Like if she's a 104 filly, then she can cope with the high pressure Everest, provided she has runs, just like any other horse that you know. You want to be fit leading into the highest pressure 6 furlong race in the world. Common sense, those sorts of things.
Runs in behind.
Also, yeah, I was just about to say, Democracy Manifest and Southport Tycoon were necked out the back and were really really good. And so was Ducasse. He was sneaky. It was a sneaky run. He's a 2,000 meter horse, or I don't know, mile horse maybe. But he was pretty good too from a long way back. Airman was okay, but you know, Airman and Jolisar are actually related. They're both from the family of what's his name, Merchant Navy.
All right. Well, if Nico was on the podcast right now, he'd say one has a heart and one doesn't.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we move to race 8, which was the toy show, and another big win for Yulong here. So, I think the curse has been lifted, Bot. It's no longer a curse because they're flying at the moment. Kimochi was really, really good. She sat deep. She was well backed. I think sort of starting $6.50. And was just a little bit too strong for Commemorative. She's ran to 96.6, really good performance. We know she's always had the talent. She bumped into a few good ones last preparation and happened to be the bridesmaid, unfortunately. But she's back and she's going really well. Mumbai Muse was also solid towards the inside. But what did you make of Kimochi?
Yeah, good. This is obviously short of her best. Like they stretched her to a mile. They stretched her to 2,000, but she didn't run that far. But she's a good sprinter miler. Like she's just as good as a miler as she is sprinting. So this is a good kickoff point. They went slowly in this race, and
another one so slow.
Yeah, every race on Saturday apart from the Elias race was slowly run. It was interesting. Maybe that had something to do with wind. I'm not sure. But yeah, she was good. She's probably going to be set for the Empire Rose, you'd say. But, you know, if the good fillies go there, she's probably, you know, she's sub 20 to 15 to 1, those sorts of odds. Like, she'll be competitive. But, like, she ran third in the Tuzu Gotcha in the Coolmore Classic. She had 50.5 kilos there. But, you know, like, she's a good filly and she ran close enough to her number. She's improved at every preparation, so...
She ran second to Jolly Star in the 1,000 guineas as well.
Yeah, I think she did actually. She's a good filly and she'll continue to improve. But Commemorative was the big go, which is interesting because she's never actually done a big number. Like she went really well on debut and then sort of never did anything else. But they backed her to do something she's never really ever done before on Saturday, and you know, looking at the split, she probably should have won. So like it's like one of those ones. Like the example I'll use is I don't want to sound like a smart ass, but that day when it was just ridiculously fence on at the Valley, and another Will was drawn barrier 12 or whatever, and he was like 350 and they just wouldn't stop backing him. It was about race 5 or something at Moonee Valley. And like everyone knew it was stupidly biased towards horses drawn the inside, but they just wouldn't stop backing him. So like, you know, use like let the market help you. Like this is obviously, even though we don't have the information that necessarily says that this horse is as good as what the market's saying, just trust what the market's saying. Like this is a big go, and the market was saying, this is a good filly and it can continue to improve. But I think it's a. I hope they don't aim too high. Like, this is a. It'll probably win a group two, but you know, depends what they go. It's like, it depends what all these fillies go to. But the point is, they're going really well, and if they're placed in appropriate races, then they can win them.
Yeah. For my subs, that doesn't fill our pockets because we got $5 for commemorative. So very sickening, all in bet. But we're in good shape for this weekend. So hopefully we get a bit more luck. I just think next time, if you might get J-Mac back on commemorative, back with a weight that he can ride 56 kilos, that might be a bit of a help as well, because she's a big mare who takes a lot of riding. And she couldn't have jumped out any better. I thought she was very good, but you can't take too much away from Komochi either. All right, is that Randwick wrapped up?
Yeah, it's Sydney.
What did you make of how far they were coming off the fence already, even though it was a good four?
Yeah, that was weird.
Is that worrying for this spring?
Well, I'd rather it be fence off than fence on. But, you know, I saw Dan O'Sullivan say something about it. Like, it's significant disadvantage to be backing horses drawn 1-3 at Randwick. So, you know, that's maybe that's something to keep in mind, and it is a bit worrying, I guess, but at the same time, it could be worse. I'd rather be betting on a track that's advantaged to horses off the fence than on. Like, everyone can get off the fence, not everyone can get on the fence, so yeah.
Right,
but I guess it's something that you know anyway. Like, it's different for owners. It's shitty for owners because there's nothing you can do. But like, if you're a punter, like, you know what's going to happen, so you can prepare for it.
Yeah. Let's get to the Valley. We can just sort of fly through some of the early ones. But Dagger's on.
Yeah,
he probably just improved his ratings slightly from his first up win at Sandown, which was good to see. Look, had favours again. Barrier one again. Rooney Valley rail out, but still a very good performance. 94.8. He's been able to beat Stolly Bolly, who was really good second start as well. Polyglot was well backed. And Last Druid, the two Godolphin horses, ran 3-4.
Yeah, I was sort of hoping he went a little bit, I don't know what to think of this race because they went slowly here and it was a bit of a burn up home. But yeah. The number's not met. Like, he's only improved slightly, and I sort of think he wants further too. I don't think 1,200 meters is ideal, but I heard that they're going to keep him. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not exactly ideal, and I heard that they're going to keep him to 12 and 14. So they're setting him for a Golden Rose. You know, you're going to have to run. I think this is a good year, and you know, I think the better 3-year-olds will improve, and you're going to have to run 102, 103. Maybe even 104 is 94.5 here, and he's second up. So that's a little bit concerning for Daggers. But, you know, like, it just depends on which races they go to. Like, Stolly Bolly was massive. He was well backed. I want to back him on a Wednesday at Sandown. Like, you know, he was really good for what he's going to go to. Daggers is going to go to a Golden Rose and probably run eighth. So, no. Yep. But it was interesting that Polyglot was really well backed. I thought that it was going to be out of the gate, which is interesting.
Well, I think a lot of mappers had it actually crossing and leading.
Yeah, which is interesting. It should have, because it had the opportunity to, but Blake Shin, I think, that wrote it. Yeah, Blake Shin didn't. It should have. I think it maybe even. Oh, no, I wouldn't have won anyway, but it should. Yeah, definitely should have led, because they went slowly in this race and it was a 400 meter sprint. But yeah, even a horse like, they've just all sprinted so well. Like, I think you can follow all of them, but depending on where they go, like, if Skipjack drops back to a Wednesday Sandown race or wherever, like, I'm probably gonna be on it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's run last year, but it's finished really, really hard.
Yep. All right, let's go to race four. We'll skip three. This was the Vale Black Caviar Plate for the 3-year-old fillies, 1,200 metres. It was quite fitting that a horse with pink silks was able to win it, I thought, in Immortal Star.
And it's called Immortal Star. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, so that was the tip, if you believe in that sort of thing. Has been able to scramble in from a photograph who was probably one of the biggest morals beaten all day.
Lucky I didn't back it.
Jay Carr doesn't get a whole lot wrong too often, I would say, but this is one of her poorer rides that I've seen in recent time. Manolo Bling was third, just sort of weakened out late, and Comanche Miss was fourth. But Immortal Star, the winner, got the right run. Photograph, give me 1,400 metres at Flemington, and she will be bolting in. I think she's pretty good, and I think a race like the Carbine Club against the boys, 1,600 metres Cup Carnival Week, could be up her alley if she gets the mile. She's run the second fastest last 200 of the entire meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, so like the last 200 metres was massive. It was a... She slaughtered it. Yeah. I thought Manolo Bling was disappointing in the end. It's come off its form. Maybe you're right, Matt, because you were saying you're half concerned about it at 12, but yeah, I don't know. It was pretty bad. Immortal Star, everything went right. I don't think it's any better than what it did. I think it just ran to its number. And Photograph, obviously, probably should have won. So, yeah, that's about it.
It's going to be so over bet next start, Photograph. Like,
yeah,
potentially. Just wait. It might be right, but oh, geez, it's annoying.
Well, you just gotta hope it goes really bad next time, and then back at the start after.
Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah.
What race do you want to do? Do you want to do 7, or do you want to go straight to 8?
7. All
right, race 7. I believe this was another PR for Rolls, who went straight to the front. At least there was a bit more tempo here, but they just let him go. 2.7 lengths fast in the class. This is on punting form to the 600, and just got that loose lead. And gee, this was just an absolute picnic with the 53 kilos. Has been able to beat Greenfly and Reinberg. Rhapsody Chic, Holy Man's just couldn't get into the race from where they were. I thought there was still a few disappointing runs in this. See What I See was too bad to be true. Bad. But yeah, it's just a real head scratcher of a race.
Yeah, I wouldn't really want to take anything out of it. I don't know. Rolls, you know, he's a horse that can do a decent number. Like he's won a Warrnambool Cup. He ran third to Young Werther and Milford one day at Flemington over 2,000 metres. You know, he was second at Banjo Patterson over 2,600. But yeah, I just didn't see him. He got a really soft lead. This can happen when they sort of let them get away with it and they just sort of go at a good pace. It was a really, really good ride by Harry Grace.
You know, the biggest thing for this horse was Jenny Lala getting scratched on race morning.
I don't think he wins if she's there.
Oh my God. I backed Jenny Lala at $9. I was really keen on her because this is what I thought she would have done. And if she had been in this race, whether she leads or just sits on his sort of coattail in second, she wins. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I
it's completely hypothetical, but
I don't think this race has gone very well at all. And I haven't seen any steward reports, but See What I See was a 13% drift and was no good. So that's concerning for it. And it's Caulfield Cup campaigns. Maybe, I don't know. Something's gone wrong with that horse, but you know, don't know.
Yep. We want to see it one more time, pardon the pun, but it'll be interesting to see what they do. Danny has to try one. Like, if nothing comes up in terms of they don't find anything wrong with her, they'll run her again.
Give it another go.
And then we'll sort of find out more next time. All right, let's move on to the Carline Stakes, where Mornington Glory has been able to win this. A big hats off to Gavin Bedgegood. I actually texted him after the race, giving him congratulations. And the first thing he said was, basically said, all you fuckers were against me on the podcast.
That's brilliant.
Well done, mate. Too good. Well played. He actually mapped in the spot that I thought he'd map in. He was three wide and sort of doing it the tough way, but fit horse. He's just been too good. He's run up to 96.9. He's going to go to the Moyer Stakes now.
Is he?
Yep.
Okay.
Which is great. Golden Boom was solid. Got the right run for Blake Shinn. Sons Doot rattled home when it was all over, but Mooney Valley obviously isn't her track. And Bob Bastille, well, she was just a little bit disappointing, but you know, she probably has run up to her form. The market just thought she might go a little bit better.
Yeah. He was – Mornington Glory was a little bit off his form, what he did at Mooney Valley last start when he bolted in. But I think that's sort of down
to – That was
to
be expected.
Yeah, I think that's sort of just down to the way the race eventuated. Like, if he sat one out, one back and like just took off at the when they got around the corner, I probably say he does run the number that he did last start. But you know, he had a tricky run. He was back and wide, and you know, that's not the spot to be at Mooney Valley. They didn't go as quick as I thought they would, which is interesting. But yeah, Sounds Dute was obviously really good late, but you know, she's not a 1,000 meter Mooney Valley horse. She'll improve, like, you know. I hope they don't aim too high, but if she's a great sort of horse for one of those group two, group three listed, you know, group two, group three races on
Caulfield Stakes
down the straight. Like a race like that, or like the long-term plan should be just like a group two, group three fillies race at Flemington down the straight. Like, that's the end goal for them, I assume. Yeah, she's going really well, and she ran to her best here, and you know, it was a disaster waiting to happen. Everyone knew it was going to happen, and it did.
Yeah,
but like it happened, and she was still able to run as well as what she did, and that sort of says to me, like, you know, she might be able to keep improving. So Bol Bastille was
the last 200 of the meeting for Sons Dute.
Bol Bastille, I saw Bella Anderson say it hasn't grown at all. And the market.
Tommy said
the
same thing.
Yeah, well, he'd know, he trains the thing. So the market didn't like it either. It was a 6% drift, which is interesting because, like I said in the preview podcast, these sorts of ones the market usually likes, like Mooney Valley, 1,000 metres, 50 kilos, just Jamie Carr straight to the front. And I just it's sort of run below what it did as a 2-year-old, and maybe it's just probably just hasn't improved at all. So we'll probably say it like one or two more times, and then it goes to the breeding barn and produces another squib.
If you look at its rating compared to the weight it got, it actually wasn't completely well in at the weights as well, even though it only had 50.5 kilos. I just thought that was interesting.
Did you say?
What has derived this race of speed is the fact that Acromantula keeps missing the start. Even though he is a speed horse, he keeps on being slowly away. And he might just be a cast at the moment, but again, just slowly away, he couldn't muster. He ended up sixth in the run. Usually he's up the front setting a pretty good tempo, and it was Golden Boom that was left out in front, and Blake Shim was just able to go at a tempo that he sort of liked. So I think everyone thought they'd go helter-skelter here, and a few of those really fast speed horses haven't been able to get in the position they would have liked.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I saw on Twitter that they were talking to Gav, and apparently they want to take him to Royal Ascot.
I think it's always the journo question.
Yeah, which is, you know, if he goes to the Moyer and measures up, like, sure, but you know, at this point.
He's another one like Asfura, where his best distance probably is 1,000 to 1,100. 1,200 might just see him out. So there's not that many options for horses like that in Australia, which is a bit crazy given we're the best sprinting country in the world.
Yeah, that's about it, I think.
All right, that's it. Extra Two was obviously good in the last and ran a decent rating. Blake Shinn, I don't know how. There's no other jockey in the world who would have been on a ride this winner like this from barrier 12 to get it up the inside the way the track was playing and get up. Like, when he's on, he's seriously the best jockey in Australia, just about, when he's absolutely at his best, like this ride was. But yeah, I think that's about it. Should I get to some questions? All right, let me just load them up. All right, Chris, how does one recover from the pain that was inflicted from a fangirl / photograph 1-2 punch? I said drive to your local and devour your poison of choice. That is always that is always my go-to, I think. Either a long walk or just comfort food. Lots and lots of comfort food. Maybe a beer. HSP, like, yeah, just eat your guts out. Horses in Hallways says, that's a very interesting Twitter handle. It's spring. Thoughts on Derby fave broadsiding. Oaks Derby fave Manal. How do they make this? So he's sort of just talking that down, that Derby favors broadsiding, Oaks fave Manal. How do they make this shit up?
I just got nothing.
Some good tea leaves. Futures betting is cowardly by Sportsbet.
I mean, what else would they make favorite, I guess? But I guess they sort of got to have a market because people want to bet on it. But
it's just by default. You
know, yeah, they're just like default favorites. Like, what else are you going to make favorite, I guess? But
yeah, like a lot of the time we haven't seen these staying type of fillies and colts or geldings yet. So a lot of the time you don't even know the Oaks and Derby winner. Like, a lot of the time you've got no idea who they are until later on in the spring.
Yeah, I mean, like, Willowy won the Oaks for 2 weeks before the Oaks. Willowy was running it. I think it was like Newcastle or something, over 800 metres in a 72. 2 weeks later, it's the Oaks winner. We haven't seen it since.
Yeah, that's it.
But they just...
She was coming off country wins as well. And then she won the Adrian Knox and then she backed up. The Sydney ones.
She pissed in the Adrian Knox and then she backed up and... Yeah.
Glenn Boss, G Boss. G1 G Boss, one of the easiest watches of all time. Riley says, where does Vossi sit on the list of people you wouldn't want to be citizen arrested by? This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. Bot wouldn't be in the top 100, but the size of Vossi's arms, there's probably three AFL coaches. Adam Kingsley for GWS, Michael Voss and Bevo. They are three angry men that you probably don't want to get yourself caught on the wrong side of the law with. Very scary men. But anyway, Bossy, hopefully he can lead us to a finals win, but I highly doubt it. All right, a few Instagram questions. Stu, hi, long time listener, first time caller. V Sustainer was my best bet. Bot also rated it. Well done. Bot also rated V Sustainer $3.80. We got $13 BSP. Why did he not back it? I'm confused. It's a fair point.
I don't bet in Sydney and I stick to my rules, but I might have to change my rules.
Way too stubborn. Anthony Royd, best hidden run from the weekend.
I'll say Buckaroo. Like, he went around $95 Betfair, and I think he went really, really well late. So, I don't know. Like, the problem with him is, if they keep racing him in races, he cannot win. But if they go to a Hill Stakes in a race he can win, then he'll win it. You might get a good price about it.
I'm going to go with Zardozi. I think a lot of people might be – I actually heard some commentary – online that some people weren't actually that wrapped with her run, but she's not a 1400 meter first up horse.
No.
And once she gets to an extended trip, if they can just pick off the right race, I think she was quite hidden. And
once she got out to a trip, like as a 3-year-old filly, like she just turned the corner. Like, she was going so bad as a, because I remember as a 2-year-old, I remember I saw her at Newcastle or something. And I thought, hold on, this is a really nice Kingman filly and it might do something. Then it came back as a 3-year-old and was beaten like 40 lengths out the back of the screen. And I was like, oh, no, just hasn't come up. And then I backed it at Sandown and I think was held up or something really badly. Then it backed up and pissed in when I backed Legacies and at 30 yeah. to 1. So, you know, it's just how it works. And then she pissed in the Derby.
Yeah. Cooper Irwin says, what is the current power rankings for the Everest?
That's a good question. I don't know. What do you reckon? I think I Wish I Win still probably number one. Then you'd have to say maybe, I don't know. I've got no idea how Giga Kick comes back. I've got no idea how Ballon de Patinas, she's sort of, like, she's really good, but she's
Did
sort
you
of
see
just
her trial today? Have you seen Ballon de Patinas trial? I know it's
no,
only
I have
a trial.
Not seen. Has she come back bigger and better? Has the 7-year old mare come bigger and better?
She's come back as well as she left off in Brisbane, which was obviously she's going well. She looks really good today. I would go number one, I Wish I Win. I'm going to be controversial and throw in number two, Giga Kick. Number three, Jolly Star. Number four, Ballon de Patinas.
Jolly Star number two for me.
Yeah,
fair enough. Like if she does it again, if she runs that number again, she's number one. It's just like she's, you know, she's done it once. So
she does
it again.
Well, if she wins the Premier Stakes, then she starts
favorite. Well, if she wins the Premier Stakes by three lengths and runs 106, then like obviously, but you know, she's probably going to be.
Yeah, but she's not going to. I don't highly.
Well, she might. I wouldn't be surprised. The way she went on Saturday, like I saw people saying, like, she won't go as good as what she did. Like, why not? She went that good and she did running massive splits. Like, why would she not be able to go better?
The freshness in their legs sort of thingy.
Oh, that's not even a thing.
I think it's probably a bit more relevant to staying horses. I think sometimes you can see those stays come back and sprint hard, sprint well fresh at 1600 meters, then their second up run go a little bit flat, but I don't know. Bot seems to think it's not a thing at all. So
they're just like, if a horse can run really fast, it can run really fast. It's not simple.
He's very set now in his ways, our Bot. Coops, if you were J-Mac, who would you ride in the big features this spring? Well, you tell Chris to send Via Sestina straight to Melbourne. You ride her in at least the Turnbull and the Cox Plate. And then you've got a decision to make between Giga Kick and Jolly Star and the Everest, but it's $1.10 to be Jolly Star after the weekend.
Mm.
And it's trained by Waller. So, yeah, happy with that?
Yep.
I guess the interesting thing will be next up, when Vesena goes to the Maccabi Diva, if there's big Sydney races on that day, whether he might not be able to ride it that day. I'm not 100% sure. I'd have to look at the calendar and what he has there. All right, Jordan Harper, what do you want to see from a horse first up to class it as a pass mark for a good return run? Probably late sectionals is probably a big thing.
No, I mean, like, I don't know, if they're somewhere near their form in any sort of way, like if they run nice splits, if they run a length or two within their best form, then, you know, they're healthy. So that's all that really matters. Like, you know, they don't need to run massive splits, but if they run to their form, they're healthy, that's all that really matters.
Yeah. Depends what type of horse it is as well, I guess.
I guess so.
There's a difference between a horse like Tropical Squall returning and a horse like Fangirl, because they're different types of horses in terms of their pattern.
I guess that's what you saw with Zugotcha and Via Sestina. She was there. Via Sestina was up on pace and she ran really well. Sorry, Zugotcha was up on pace and ran really well. Like she ran her number though, but Via Sestina, she can go a lot better. They just made it very hard for her.
Yep.
Just because she drew wide and whatever.
Deethy has a few. But why are there only six horses in the Memsie? Surely a big group on should attract more. Well, we don't know for sure how many horses are in the Memsie yet.
That was a likely field. But
I have an answer to this.
Well, okay, go.
I think a lot of horses are getting scared off by Pride of Jenny and just the fact that they don't
especially
want to be busted
first
up
too.
Yeah. They just don't want to be busted up early in the prep first up, facing a tempo where she's going to go, you know, 10 lengths above to the 600. Even Buffalo River's been scared away. The 1400 meter Caulfield Merchant is not nominated. Surely. What is going on?
Yeah, that's surprising. I don't know what I'm gonna think on Saturday. I don't know what to think about it. like with Pride of Journey. I still don't know. Like, I should know what I think because she's obviously a very, very good horse, but she's just so confusing. Just like as a ratings person. Like even with like the ratings I use, Form King, Dave, who does the ratings, he rated it as two separate races just because it effectively was.
You're talking about the Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, the Queen Elizabeth was like when he rated that race, he essentially rated it as two separate races because that's pretty much what it was.
That's all well and good, but in terms of focusing on this week, I think the most relevant piece of form is the CF4 Stakes, and I think going into this week, she's fitter than she was in the CF4, and Mr. Brightside isn't as fit as he was in the CF4 that day, and he was off the bit and chasing at the 800. And he was just lucky that Pride of Jenny came back for him. I would be very shocked if Pride of Jenny doesn't start an extremely short price favorite in terms of even money. I think she's that right now, but
I don't know.
I think she's the winner. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I think. It's very hard.
Yep. A few more. The jumps. We have to touch on it. We can't hide behind glass doors, as we sort of have said before. Ryan Deeth says, do you think jumps racing should be banned after the horses that died on the weekend? Ben and Bot, what do you think Nico would do if jumps got banned?
I don't know what Nico would do. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about jumps racing. It makes me anxious, and I feel like I shouldn't be anxious whilst watching races. It's a great spectacle, but I don't know how I feel about it.
I love the jumps.
I love it too, but I just...
And I'll have a bet, but...
I hate the feeling when I'm watching jumps racing, even though that I like... Like, Warrnambool's great, but I don't want to feel anxious while watching a horse race.
Yeah. In my heart of hearts, I don't think jumps racing will last another 5 years.
I'll give it five, ten.
That's just my honest thoughts, even though I do love it. Yeah, I think it is dying a slow death, and what happened on the weekend is probably only accelerating that, which is really unfortunate. It's sad what happens, but it does happen. Shane Burnett, best trial of the week so far. Come on, Bot, give us your trial.
Oh, fuck. I'll handball that one to you, mate.
There's been lots of good ones. Estriella, obviously, no one missed it.
Bellinger, I saw that actually.
Fantastic today. One that I think probably hasn't been spoken about as much as others, Heya Sugi, the Blue Diamond winner. She trialed enormous.
Mm. Well, she's by really Royal good. Meeting. She like Royal Meeting was a, I don't even know, but like he was a good miler over. Like as an older horse, or I think anyway, but like he wasn't expected to produce 2-year-olds, so it makes sense that she's and she never seemed squibby either. She sort of, I don't know, she's half exciting. I don't think she'd be competitive in a Moyer though. She seemed more strong 1200 than squibby.
I think she's more 1200 meter horse. Manicato, she'll get that lightweight again. That's going to be a hot race, but I think there is another good race for her in store. I think she has trained on. There's a few I've got concerns about. Coleman is one of those. I don't think he has been trialing very well, which is, I don't know. We wait and see.
That's surprising.
He's been underriding. He's been under pressure, and I just haven't liked what I've seen from him so far. So,
well, he was another one that was strong rather than squibby too. Like you don't expect the like strong ones to quicken and, you know. Yeah. I'm excited. The horse I'm most excited about from the 3-year-olds is Growing Empire. I think I've said that a couple of times. I really, really like that horse. Just the way, like, he ran those two base ratings that were sort of good, but without being great. And then he went to Adelaide and the market knew all about it. And he just ran this massive number. And the massive mid-race slowdown only stopped him from winning by further. Like, I think he'll take the Everest slot for Yulong.
Yeah.
That's my bold call of the spring. I think he'll be Yulong's Everest horse, and I think he's
he looks immoral this week.
Oh my God. You cannot have like, what's a racing stay focused? Like, if that if it goes up like 280 or better, just have.
No,
he won't I'm excited. Surely
he went from $4 into 280 all in. I took a little bit of 280. He's probably into 250 now. I think he'll probably go up 240.
Yeah, but he's still coming off an Adelaide win. People don't like Adelaide. Stay Focus was good in the Blue Diamond.
Stay Focus is another one whose trials and jump outs have been a bit past, to be honest.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So I don't know exactly where he's at. He was meant to run at the Valley last week. Maybe they weren't happy with him. Question marks around that colt for sure. Quick word on Sandown tomorrow. Federer, second start up to 1,600 metres in the fourth. Looks hard to beat.
That race didn't go quite as well as it did looked visually, but he can go again.
But surely there's more gears in store.
I wouldn't take even money, personally.
Big Me, race 7. Does it finally get a win third up? Third time lucky?
I haven't gone over it as in depth enough to give any bets out, but yeah, sorry.
All right, have a look tomorrow morning and then we'll sort of see. Yeah. All right, that's been the review pod. We'll try and get these out. When does Dave sort of do his ratings? Is there any chance we'll be able to get these done on a Monday or not?
Normally Monday, but I think he I don't know. We just whenever they come out, like it's not that hard.
We'll do it when we can.
Tuesday. Yeah.
We'll see you back here on Thursday, punters. We've actually got a special guest, Tommy Hardy, who has worked for Coolmore Stud overseas. He's now at Lindsay Park doing some great things as well. He's an integral part of their stable out at Euroa. That's a very hard word to say. Euroa. and he's coming on the podcast. So it'll be great to hear all things about Mr. Brightside and some of their stable stars, what it's like, stable life, waking up sort of early nights, early mornings. We'll get some great insight there and hopefully he's got a few tips for us as well. See you back here on Thursday night. Carefully, we will come through. Could it be easy to start over? Somehow we'll bring you to. We'll be right back.